Thank you very much for calling in.
Happy to be here, Kyle, as always.
A lot of people refer to Indiana as having the broadest eligibility requirements, and a lot of voucher supporters say that this has actually made the eligibility pool even wider. How is that possible?
What they did this year was, in addition to making more children eligible immediately, in particular children with special needs, so now you don't have to have attended a traditional school for a year if you have an IEP, an individualized education plan, or if you're a sibling of a current scholarship recipient, you don't have to attend a public school for a year. Or if you are assigned to a school that is designated by the state as failing, you no longer have to wait to get the access to choice. So I think Indiana was the fastest growing first year voucher program ever, and now the fastest growing second year voucher program ever. And actually, I believe it will also become the fastest growing third year voucher program.
Last year, there were at least 49,000 students, probably more, but at least 49,000 who met the voucher program's income requirements in Indiana last year. But they went to a school that got an F rating from the state anyway. There's certainly a lot of people that probably are eligible, but they didn't decide to go this route.
A couple things. One, it takes some time to grow these kind of programs to get parents to understand. I mean, moving a child from one setting to another setting is, first of all, it's a very challenging thing to do. And it's not something that parents do easily, generally, even if the school is poorly performing. There are other factors about why parents are not just all parents are running to private schools. The second thing is, when you have a court challenge like we've had in the first 2 years of our program, we know from previous history that the court challenge sort of damps down the demand, right? Because people are afraid of making the choice and all of a sudden it could be taken away from them.
Even conservative members of the Indiana General Assembly said, we need to maintain the public school attendance requirement, for example, because we want to give the public schools the first shot. And if you've got members of the conservative wing of the General Assembly saying, whoa, are we backing away from our commitment to public schools, is that maybe a sign that we need to slow the expansion process down?
No, I think that's a sign and I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I think policymakers are often lagging indicators, right? They have incentives to keep their seat, to make sure constituents are happy. And often in these areas, particularly in sort of rural and suburban areas, the largest employer is the public school system. So you're absolutely hearing those legislators who are getting a lot of pressure from the traditional public schools, who are the largest employers, try and say slow down. I don't think that's what parents want. I think you'll see through the growth of the program that's not at all what they want. Are we really talking about public schools, or are we talking about public education?
What about rural schools? I mean, is the expansion, as it's been put together, going to be enough to incentivize new operators to bring choice to rural areas, or are they going to remain with these public school options? We're talking about money that's taken off the top of the public school funding formula and sent to schools in the cities.
We really have to start going down this conversation road of how do we change how much money a child gets, and how can a rural district, for example, bring in new providers. I think one of the biggest weaknesses with the Indiana Choice Program is the lack of high-dollar voucher amount for elementary schools. And as a result, it's going to expand the program very well among the existing schools, the existing non-public schools. But I'm not so confident it's going to draw in a bunch of new schools until we get that amount up.
All right. Bob, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
As always, Kyle, thank you very much.
Bob Enloe heads the Friedman Foundation for Educational Choice. You can find our conversation with a prominent voucher opponent at stateimpactindiana.org.